life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 108 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is September the 7th, 2013, and joining us today are Leon Everett, and from The Secret of the Sailor Madness, it's Dwayne
thanks a lot, man.
I nearly said Niall.
I just now, it's because I've written, as I was looking at it, I realised I'd completely written your surname down wrong.
Mahoney.
Well, that's alright. It's Dwayne.
Yes, it's Dwayne Mahoney.
Mahoney.
Not Malone, as I'd written.
Mahoney.
Oh dear.
Yeah, for some reason I'd written it down as in Bugsy Malone. I won't be doing much talking, so I've bitten the side of my mouth. Dear,
were you that hungry?
Oh, between this and the 2 week, my leg still isn't healed up from when I bashed it at Icon. I've still got a scab on it.
Stop picking!
I haven't been picking it. It's gradually reduced from like an inch diameter scab now to a centimeter diameter scab, and with a nice halo of lovely new skin all around it. Yes, and then as I was driving the car back from the garage yesterday, I suddenly realised, oh shit, tax disc. I need to get one of those, otherwise I'm not going to drive the car. Thankfully you can actually do them online on the very last day. Now, it used to be you had like leave for fortnight or something to do it online, but now you can do it yesterday, and August the 31st.
And yeah, then that would be inconvenient. A fortnight ahead? Who plans that far ahead?
Well, you used to have to. That was before you used to go down to the post office and hand them a bunch of forms to let them know that you've got an MOT and insurance. Anyway, enough Brian adult brain talk. Let's move on to our regular
child brain talk.
UK anime releases for this week. First up, Bleach Complete Series 11. Though, to find out what this was, I had to look on the page which said season 12 on Wikipedia, so don't know what's going on there. Anyway, this is more Alan Carr versus Soul Reapers, and then a bunch of one-shot stories.
Alan Carr?
Aaron Carr, yes. I don't remember the pronunciation, makes it sound like Alan Carr. I think to watching this in the anime. But I'd much rather watch Alan Carr versus the Soul Reaper.
That would get me back into Bleach.
As long as Alan Carr didn't win.
I don't know, I'd be rooting for him at this point.
Really?
A little bit myself as well, yeah.
No, I'll not be... I mean, I ask this question all the time. So, what episodes is that?
200... it's early 200s.
All right, okay. I'll not begin.
Okay, it's quite a while ago, because I noticed one of the one-shots I think I'd seen people talking about it years ago, so... I mean, it's cancelled now, the TV series.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, but when you say cancelled, I thought they closed it off.
No longer airing?
It's no longer airing, yeah. It's the manga's been on hiatus as well. It's just about to come back to do its final arc. So I imagine the anime will probably come back and do those, whatever it hasn't done.
Hyping for that.
I think there'll be more hyping for it to end and for the guy to go and do something else where he can draw people in more interesting clothes than black pyjamas constantly.
Whoa, they look good! But they still wear them pyjama things in this.
I'm pretty sure.
That is a bit dull, I suppose.
Particularly when you read the comic, he's obviously having much more fun doing those front pieces where he gets to draw the characters in all sorts of wacky fashions. Must have built a rod for his own back. Okay, next up is Clannad After Story on DVD. 2008 series sequel to the visual novel nonsense. I have not seen this, and I doubt I ever will. Clannad fans here? Anyone?
I know it's an Irish word, I think, but I don't know what it means.
I only know the name as from the band, the Irish band.
Yeah.
Clannad.
Yeah, who did the Robin Hood theme tune, I believe, when I was back in the 80s, which I was a big fan of as a kid. And then I went to university and met some people there, and I realised, no, I was not a big fan of it. They were big fans of it.
Wait, dear, what, like, incarnation of Robin Hood are you talking? Like, the Prince of Thieves film?
No, it's before that. This is Robin of Sherwood, I think it was called, TV series.
Oh, God.
Where they had to have a second Robin Hood, because the first Robin Hood left to go and star in Dynasty, I think. So they had, I think Jason Connery, Sean Connery's son, took over as...
Really? Sean Connery's got a son?
Yes, you haven't seen much of him because he's a really bad actor.
Google doesn't know who he is. No, I'm just joking.
Okay, next up. Blue Exorcist Definitive Edition Blu-ray. This is... The comic's really popular in Japan, but I've never seen any of this. Except maybe the clip they showed in the Shonen panel that went to Iacon.
Well, I've seen the first two episodes of this. It's not all that.
No?
Nah. Maybe I was just being a bit judgmental. I wanted it to be really good, because I remember when it was first started, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And it just wasn't that good, so I didn't stick with this.
Yeah, I think it had a movie either early this year.
Yeah, it did.
Late last year. Sort of right to the cusp around Christmas. I don't know. I may eventually see if I've got so much stuff to watch. I'm not going to buy another Blu-ray of stuff. Dead Man Wonderland, the complete Blu-ray and complete DVD. That is 12 episodes of the show and the OAV.
I would pick this up. Because I did actually like what I saw of Dead Man Wonderland, but I never stuck with it. Not for any particular reason, just forgot about it.
I didn't see any of it. I keep on seeing that cover on whatever, Neo or whatever it is, with the girl with spirals drawn on her breasts.
Nope.
I know about it is it's like post-apocalypse or something, isn't it?
Well, the first episode, this guy's... Oh, hold on, is that C? No, it's not C. It's not C. This guy's in a classroom and then all of his classmates get slaughtered.
Hmm.
And he sees the thing that does it, and he gets accused of murdering them all, basically. So okay. It's pretty good. It's all right, but so perhaps pick that up.
And finally, there is the release of Pumpkin Scissors, a collection of all 24 episodes of that 2006 anime. I noticed that I think this is sort of Men versus Tanks. I think I've seen the first episode of this.
Men versus
tanks.
Yeah,
people fighting tanks in hand-to-hand combat. Well, not hand-to-hand, but like... I think close. That sounds
amazing.
In some cases, I think it is. I think there might be a guy who attacks them with swords.
Oh, man. I'm just thinking of
I'm
thinking you ran out of giant robo punching that giant ball.
Yes.
With tanks. That makes it so much better.
But here's the word of warning. It is the comic is still ongoing, and this is a 2006 anime, which was animated by Gonzo. So you can do the math on that as to whether you might be getting a ending you're satisfied with.
Well, I found an image on Google Images, which is exactly what I wanted it to be, and there's a guy pointing a gun at a tank's face. Like, it has got a face, but as if the tank would care. I don't know. So, I want to see hand-to-hand combat with...
I don't know if it... Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I might be... Well, the other character seems to have a sword, so maybe they do go into hand-to-hand combat with tanks.
Yeah, it's a good batch of releases. Dead Man Wonderland, Pumpkin Scissors, sounds great.
Yeah, it's a fair... And I've ordered none of them, and I think I've got at least two or three things I'm ordering this month.
Mm.
But we shall get to those on future episodes. Okay, what you watch? I think it's time for Leon first, because it's been such a long time.
Well,
no, it's not, because we had you on the Iacon one, but it feels like a long time.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, it wasn't that long ago. But the first thing that I saw recently is Attack on Titan.
Oh!
Watched the first three episodes of Attack on Titan, basically off the Iacon hype, and...
I told you to watch that show before.
Obviously, yeah, I know that, but I mean, I've brought it up before that I've not watched it. But after all that, I thought, let me give this a go, see if it's being, if it's actually decent or overhyped. And bear in mind, I've only watched three episodes so far, but I'm not convinced at the moment.
Because, I'm pleased to hear that.
I'm not convinced because I think the animation is brilliant.
Ooh.
like the animation is brilliant, it looks great, and there's like hints of potential. But the problem is, those three episodes, even though there's a time skip, there's a time skip in there as well, so slow moving. Like, after the first episode, I thought, okay, this is good. This is alright, it's alright. And then, you know, at the end of that episode, you have that big attack.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, this is amazing. And I thought it was going to be sort of
all
more...
out action.
Not all out action, but I thought it was going to be... The thing I really loved about that was, yeah, the action, but I also loved how harsh it was. With characters being killed and stuff, it wasn't just faithless people. It was like people being like crushed and crying and stuff like that. I love it. It was like it was mega harsh. And then second episode is just like, like the first episode and second episode should have been one episode. And then the third episode, it's just like spinning wheels. And I was like, okay, I assume this is going to be a thing where if I keep watching a couple episodes in, there'll be a game changer. Because at the moment, it's a bit dull, and I don't know if I can be bothered to continue watching.
There's a huge game changer within a couple of episodes.
The main important thing that I need to know about that show is there like a minimum order, or is it just going to be constantly running like a Shonen Jump show?
What do you mean? Oh, well, the manga's still ongoing, but I think because the manga, although it's still ongoing, it's not that deep in the sense it's only like, I think it's volume 45 or something, and where
it's 11 volumes of the comic so far.
Is that what it's covering? Are they doing a break or they're doing filler? Because I don't know that either.
I think it's ongoing.
Grim.
But like, yeah, if it's got no minimum order, because they're up to episode 20 or 21 or something, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah.
So it's obviously not going to be a 26 episode show. So if it does like a Fullmetal Alchemist and hits around the 50-something mark, that's fine. If it continues past that, I'm out. I haven't got time for those long-running shows. I have not got time for those long-running shows. Especially, my issue with long-running shows is that a show that is usually like 26 episodes or 13 episodes gets so much done in 22 minutes, while shows like, I guess it's because I've been burnt by the Shonen Jump shows, but like those ones with unlimited episodes, nothing happens in that whole time.
Yeah, so much filler.
Yeah, half of it is telling you what happened last episode, and then the end of it is half like what you're gonna see again in the next episode, and it's like you have this small little 5-minute chunk of like new stuff, and then sometimes you're unlucky and it's like a flashback or someone just whining about something unimportant while standing there in the middle of a fight, and it's just like I can't deal with that. So
yeah,
I like
one piece, yeah.
Yeah, I like an anime. I like my anime to have like a minimum order. So like, it's only going to be like this amount of episodes.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think I can't remember which episode it is because I don't know whether I got that far. But there is a recap episode in Attack on Titan. How crazy is that? I'm sure someone said there's a recap episode. Why does it need a recap episode after 10 episodes? That's ridiculous.
Well, that's like my one negative thing about Samurai Champloo. 26 episode show and has a recap episode, don't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But,
at least it's just 26 episodes.
So put you down for that episode when we do our Samurai Champloo podcast then, Leal. I'll make a note of that. Or what we should do for that one is rather than review that episode, we should recap every episode of the podcast up to that point.
Oh god.
And then, on top of that, my second watch thing is that yesterday I was in London. I went to watch a immersive play by the Punch Drunk production group, and this was their latest production called The Drowned Man, a Hollywood Fable. And it was really, really, really good. The way it works is that it's in a big sort of old post office, like a unused warehouse, and on several floors, they've like done them up to look like a Hollywood set and bits around a Hollywood set of like sort of the 50s, I think it's 50s or 60s, and they've done it up that way. And then the way it works is that you go in like through different exits, different entrances, and you're going a bit at a time. And then what happened with me, I went with a bunch of friends, and then they give you these masks, like you walk in, they give you these masks, because the way it's meant to be is, us as the audience are meant to be invisible, so it's not interactive. You're just meant to be like follow, like you walk, basically, you walk around and there's like scenes going on with people acting and staying in character the whole time. And then what happens, like, you put on the mask, you get in an elevator, and then you've got some guys like the studio tour guide, and he like gives you a bit of the history. And then what they did with me is that they let us out on one floor, and I walked out with two other guys, and they closed it behind us, and I thought, oh, they're just splitting us up. But then I found out later, it's like, as soon as they let us free out, they closed the door, and they were like, and then they gave more information about the studio, and then let those guys out the another door, and I was like, what? Because it's basically done, they want you to split up from your friends as much as possible.
That sounds scary.
Well, as soon as we left the elevator, it was really scary, because I was like, those two guys just like disappeared, they pissed off. And so I was walking down this hallway, and the guy mentioned something like, don't be out, don't get, like, you said, blah, blah, the studio, this, that, and the other. And he says, but don't go outside the studio. It's very dangerous at night. I'm thinking, oh my God, screw this. But like, walking around, and then I walked into, like, the whole thing was very, Lynchian. And the first scene I saw was set in like a place with a checkered floor, red light, jazz music playing, and it's really odd sequence. I was expecting like, the midgets to appear and talking backward. But like, it was really, really cool. And in the way it works, you're on these different floors. You can just walk to different rooms and there'll be like a scene playing out. Or like, you can follow an actor. So at the beginning, I was just walking, following scenes. And then, you see an actor leave one part of the scene. You can either stay with the scene they've just been with, or you can walk off the actor and they'll continue and they'll move to another room and another scene will play out.
And so you could miss different scenes, potentially, yeah, to find out something else.
But the whole thing loops. It loops twice. On my first time, I followed, like, an actress one place, and I followed this actor who was the boss to another place. And then I follow. I ended up in a situation where I followed someone down a corridor, and then a scene I'd seen had already was playing out again. I was like, oh, it's looping. So I decided to change floor, and then I saw something that I missed the first time. So parts of some of the stories I got backwards, because I'd get it on get each part of it on one loop, but get there so I'd see the third act of it, then the second act of it, and then the beginning of that story. And it's like, it's really, really cool. I'd recommend that to everyone.
It sounds
like,
so strange.
Really good. It's amazing because even though we're all meant to be invisible, so all the like audience, you wear white masks and you're not meant to talk or make any noise, whatever. You're just meant to just watch and not interact or anything like that. So it makes it really weird. It's like Eyes Wide Shut sometimes. Just walking around, everyone's standing around silent while someone's like talking. And then there's staff who are wearing black masks, and you can talk to them if you want to know where the bathroom is or whatever. And then obviously the actors don't wear any masks, but then weird stuff would happen. So like, it didn't happen to me, but a friend we were with, he got abducted. So like, different people would be taken to different rooms, and then they're like playing out scenes just for one person in that room. It's like really weird. Like, we were following an actor one time who took a member of the audience, and then following, and they went into a room and closed the door and locked it behind them. And we're like, whoa. It was really, really good. I highly recommend. And there's a bar on one of the floors, which is just constantly going. And when you go into the bar, you have to take off your mask and, you just buy drinks at the bar, and there's like a jazz band playing, and then you leave and you're just back in the world again.
This sounds weird.
Really good. Punch Drunk, do a lot of productions like that. They've done other ones in the past. Like, they did one for Resistance in Waterloo Station, so people basically being chased. Friend of ours went to that, Perrin. Basically, yeah, you're just getting chased around, and there was ones, like, I think you went to an Edgar Allan Poe one, which is, like, horror-based, and just, it's really cool way to do theatre, because it's interactive in a sense. But it's more so with this one, you're just like a floating person, just, you're just able to walk in and out of the scenes. And it's really odd when like about three of you are just following one actor, and they're not interacting with you at all, but they're playing out scenes. And then you have this really odd thing where if you want to stay with an actor and they start to change floor, they do this little jog and then sometimes they start running. And so like, you'll just see like five people just running, chasing off so they don't miss the next scene. And those bits were intense, but really, really cool. But I'd heavily recommend it. I believe it's running till December. So if you find yourself in London, well, you're going to need to buy the tickets before, but if you find yourself coming to London before the end of the year, I'd highly recommend it.
That sounds so bizarre.
I think that's the one a friend of mine's working in. He's like working in the bar in it.
Hmm.
I'll send you out a picture, but I don't know how to work this chat thing. But, yeah, apparently they kicked out Chris Pine the other day because he was angry that there wasn't whores or something. That's very strange.
What?
I don't know. He was just causing a ruckus in the bar, apparently.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. No, don't sue the podcast.
Who are you talking about here, Chris?
Your man who played Kirk in the new Star Trek.
Ah, oh, ha.
Typical Kirk.
Yeah. It's appropriate.
He was in character. People following him around.
How about you, Dwayne? What you watch?
What you watch?
I've been watching Louis Theroux things on Netflix, which make me sad for the state of humanity. But he's so polite.
You haven't got to the point where you just begin to think he's a bit insincere.
A little bit at points, because he clearly, like most reporting, he has an opinion on the thing. He just tries not to let it show. Mm. Yeah, those have been pretty good. But you know, if you're watching some of them, like the worst one is probably the Westboro Baptist one. I was like, oh god.
I'm not seeing that one.
He's kind of like hanging around with the family and stuff, and it's just very uncomfortable. oh, and speaking of uncomfortable, I've been gotten back into Dark Souls, because that was a bad idea.
I almost bought that today and then decided...
It's too hard.
Too hard.
It's very good, but if you're not careful, it will beat the shit out of you. like, I went around the catacombs and there's all these skeletons that keep coming alive if you haven't killed Aeria and Necromancer and this stuff. And I made myself a magic lance to kill skeletons specifically. And it's just like, okay, I can do this. And I'm just walking around, my heart's going, brum, 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 constantly. And I was like, fuck this. It's enjoyable, though. It's if you like a challenge, I recommend it. But, yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah, that's the thing, I don't like a challenge anymore.
Well, I mean, like, if you just want a bit of action or something like that, there's better games that don't punish you as hard for it.
Yeah, I just played, as I say, Dragon's Dogma gets compared to that, but you set it on easy. It you can cope with it. Whereas I suspect there is not an easy mode for me to cope with Dark Souls.
No, and every now and again you go, I think I should disconnect from Xbox Live because I need to turn human now. I don't want to be invaded by some asshole.
Oh yes, you got that weird thing going on as well, don't you?
Yeah, fucking invasions, man. I hate them.
What, does some like player just come in and just?
Yeah, you can invade other people's games.
What?
And steal their souls, which is the currency. Oh, so annoying. But yeah, I mean, like you get other things where you can summon players to help you, and I've done it in several places, and they just basically cleaned house for me, and I was like, well, this section is really easy. I was just looking through a guide and I was like, oh, you gotta kill this mini boss with three giant cats. And I'm like, I don't remember three giant cats. And I was like, oh, wait, that was when I summoned those two guys. Yeah, they was to kill them when I wasn't there. Yeah. Basically. Kill the boss for me.
Okay, how about you, Anthony? What you been watching?
Oh, I don't know what to go with. I've been doing a lot recently. I finally watched, the Alan Partridge Mid-Morning Matters show. Which is, so funny. And a lot of people prefer I'm Alan Partridge, but I don't know where I'm at with that. I feel this is like the best of Alan Partridge you can get, just kind of him on his radio show talking crap, and it's just so unbelievably funny. And I think it started as a web series originally.
Yes, yeah, it was a web series.
And I've not seen any of that, but this is just, it's golden, it's hilarious on so many levels, and it's just Alan Partridge being awkward with people on the radio and stuff like that, great. Highly recommend that. I want to see the film now. Also, I've been playing Final Fantasy 14. Just a little bit of it, though.
Which one?
That's the new. Well, I'll say the new one. It's a Realm Reborn, the new online one.
Oh, okay.
Which was came out about 3 years ago, and it was awful. So they just hit it on the head, and they've re-released it now, all redone, and just it's really good, really good. I've managed to sink so many hours in. But put it this way, on Friday I played 15 hours straight.
Jeez.
Because I had a day off work. And then the night before, because I was off work, I only slept for 4 hours because I played about 12 hours straight of it. Jeez. So I'm quite addicted, but yeah, that's what I've been doing. And I watched Iron Man 3 as well, Brian. I thought it was really good.
Good.
Really good. Much better than the second, and I prefer it to the first one. It's like, Tony Stark is being Tony Stark. I don't know. It's good. He's a dick in it. It's great. A funny dick though.
Yeah. That Alan Partridge, the TV version was the web version. It was, they basically doubled the web episodes up into half an hour long TV episodes.
Oh, right. Okay. Have you seen any of it?
I think I've seen some of the web stuff, but I wasn't following it.
That's so funny.
Because I think on the web, it was being sponsored by someone, and so you had to deal with like the sponsorship adverts. So maybe I'd be better off watching the TV version.
Yeah, highly recommend it. Well, you've seen the film as well, haven't you?
Now? I have, yeah.
So
yeah, go and see the film. It's great.
Is it?
It is, yeah. Okay, my first is a What You Read. And well, don't get too excited. It's not that highbrow.
Desperate Dan.
As it's now available on UK Android, I'm subscribed to Weekly Shonen Jump.
Oh, that's weird.
So that is, I think it's a little cheaper on, I don't know how much it's on the iTunes, but I've seen people complaining that it's cheaper on Android because Apple aren't taking their chunk. So you're thinking it works out as 69p a week. Or £1.98, I think, a month. Something like that. And then you get a weekly Shonen Jump, day and date, with the Japanese release of it. And so I no longer have to read dodgy scanlations, which have been scanned from leaked pages, then translated into Chinese, then from the Chinese translated into appalling English.
That's half the charm.
Charm is not really charm. The word. So yeah, I'm enjoying that a lot. I don't enjoy everything in it. I can't even remember what the really bland series is that it apparently does actually have its fans, but
I've got a question about this. What's the new Toriyama series like?
It's good fun.
Because I see it and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was anything. I didn't know that was a thing.
When you sign up, there's a, you get a preview issue and there's also like a free one shot from Toriyama and, oh, I can't remember the guy's name, the guy who designed all the characters for Tiger and Bunny and did Zetman. Which is pretty good as well. Jacko, I think it's only on to chapter 8, so it's hard to see what shape it's going to form, but it's about this space cop who's come to Earth and can't get back off the planet again because he hasn't got fuel for his spaceship. And he's trying to stop a time machine from causing trouble. And there's a female character who is named after pieces of clothing, which is obviously a Toriyama thing. So I don't know whether that is going to whether it's going to be revealed at some point. This is the same world as Dragon Ball. And,
I don't know.
But yeah, it's grumpy old man who was involved in building this time machine has teamed up with this alien and now teamed up with this young woman as well. But you can jump straight in. They're being chased by cops for some reason.
Well, see, you can jump straight in, but I'm very OCD with stuff like that. I can't like...
Yeah, get over it.
I can't do it. Like, Leon will be on my side with this one. If you're going to watch a show or read something, you do it from the beginning. I understand, I wouldn't start from the beginning of EastEnders. And I guess it's almost like the same principle, but at the same time, I feel when I can access something, I might as well start from the beginning.
Well, you can. You just have to buy them all on the Nook.
I did download that app after you mentioned that.
Yeah, because they're about £4.99, the Nook of now.
Per issue?
No, per volume.
Oh, God. And how many does a volume cover? Like 12?
20? Well, it's whatever the volume covers in whatever series it is. So you'd have to buy them for whichever one you want.
Oh, right. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, it's the same as the paper releases Viz do. There's a bunch of them now on the Nook in the UK.
Oh, I'll check that out.
But yeah, so what was I a fan of? One Piece. I even quite like Naruto. I even understood what was going in that, even though I've not read it for years. That everyone's teamed up again to fight the bad guys. don't need to know much more than that.
I'm just, nothing's changed.
Even people who were dead have come back to team up. One Punch Man was really good. That's the thing I'll probably be buying in paper as well. Toriko was this chapter the week I'm speaking about, handily had loads of characters introducing themselves for the entire chapter. So it was perfect time to hop on. Because apparently there's some big fight about to take place between all the good guys and all the bad guys. But they've all teamed up into pairs and triples in order to beat each other up.
Is it a contest or did it just happen to go that way?
I think the good guys are raiding the bad guys' base, if I remember correctly. I read the first volume of Toriko and I've not read any of the subsequent volumes, but I get the general gist that there's this bad guy group of gourmets and a good guy group of gourmets. And then there's all these places which are walled off where special food lives.
I was going to say, is it still about food? Because I wasn't entirely sure.
Yeah, it's over some ingredient. They're all about to face off against each other. A whole bunch of
I think it's called something like God.
Yeah, it's something to do with that, yeah. World Trigger, that was the really bland series that I wasn't too keen on. And I've not read the Yu-Gi-Oh! Zaxxel chapter or the Nisekoi. But when you get almost 300 pages worth of comics, I don't think you really, for 69p, I don't think you really need to read all of them.
No,
you're probably good.
You know what's great? I just want to say, we've been talking for ages, and this is probably going to be one of our biggest episodes. We're discussing what we're talking about. It's going to be massive.
The other thing I watched was the preview episode of Wander Over Yonder, which is the new Disney cartoon by Craig McCracken, the guy behind Powerpuff Girls.
Oh.
With Jack McBrayer as a space cowboy.
Yeah, I really want to hear what you think of this because I'm interested.
I liked it a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
It was very silly. It was just a load of jokes. I think there's some character called the Emperor of Awesome who was a talking shark riding in the back of a dinosaur.
Awesome.
But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that when that starts properly, which I think is next month.
Brilliant.
All this month is when you hear this podcast. Okay, on to our weekly retro recap. Anthony, did you watch it this time?
Of course I did.
Well, I watched it almost 3 weeks ago now, so...
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Tell the people what happened in it.
Let's get this little thing up here. So, there's a... Obviously, we're watching Astro Boy, because we've not mentioned that yet. Is it episode 4 this was?
Yeah, episode 4, Into Thin Air.
Into Thin Air, that's right. And there's basically a robot who has an optical camouflage functionality. And it's a little girl called Denku, and she's being kind of manipulated by this evil mafia guy or thief crook guy called Skunk to basically steal things and rob banks, rob gold and jewelry, all that kind of jazz. And just basically poor little girl getting manipulated. And Astro Boy goes to school. And meet some friends from school, and they turn around, make her a good guy.
Yeah, that's about it. It is basically a future Fagin and future Oliver Twist if they were robots. Well, one was a robot and the other one was just a mean guy.
It's pretty sad, though, because the poor... She's a good character. I don't know if she's going to be back or not, but...
I don't know. This one tried my patience, I think, because it was all the kid characters and... Boy, there's some annoying voices going on when the kids are being voiced.
Hey, Astro!
Yes. So I'm voting no on this. I don't want to watch another episode where it's all the kids again.
Well, it's funny you say that because going into this, about 5 minutes in, I was like, yeah, I'm done with this. I feel like I'm getting nothing from it. And then by the end, I was like, this turned it round.
Well,
I quite enjoyed it, but...
Saying it's your turn to pick now.
Oh, hold on, you'll have to give us 30 seconds to bring up the list, and I didn't expect you to say no.
I've been harbouring that no for 3 weeks.
You could have told us that Iacon was going to say no, and I would have been prepared. I can't even find it. 2000. We don't have a list, we just pulled out our hat. Let's see. Oh, I don't want to watch that again. I was going to say something I'd watched. How about, because I've seen the name, this used to get thrown around when I used to buy Region Zero bootlegs, Ease Otherwise.
Okie dokie, that's fine.
Okay, have you seen any of that?
I think I've seen the first episode of that way back when it was being fan-subbed. So that's Ease Otherwise, okay.
That's right.
I have to make a note of that because it's a name I'm likely to forget.
E:...
Yeah, no, I know which one it is. It's a bit like X-Men.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
Oh, get in.
That may be over, hyping it a little. But yeah, I think it's like school for people with superpowers, if I remember correctly.
I'm on board.
Okie dokie, on to the show topic, which is Cowboy Bebop episodes 1 to 13. Because it's just been released, well, about a month ago. It was released on Blu-ray here in the UK, which I've got, and it's excellent. Recommend getting it. It looks super pristine. And you can, like, see all the text in the opening credits.
Nice.
Like widescreen? Have they made it?
No, it's the same ratio.
That's the way it's meant to be.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd be putting out information.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was 1998. It was 4:3, Anthony. What do you want them to cut the tops and bottoms off for you?
TV's still curved forward.
Wow, I mean, come on. Reanimated if need be. Fair enough. Okay, I'll not be too... I should probably pick it up on Blu-ray, but I feel it's only doing it.
There you go. You're happy with the pan and scan on Astro Boy. Now you want your blooming Cowboy Bebop.
16.9, yeah.
Astro Boy was 16.9. It was 4.3 on the blooming Crackle website. Okay, anyway, Cowboy Bebop, enough ratios. Have we all seen this before?
I haven't seen it in years now, yeah. When was the last time you watched it? Because I assume we've all seen it, yeah?
Yes, we've all seen it. I'm trying to think. It's been a while, possibly a decade.
Yeah, I think maybe longer with me. Jeez.
Probably about, yeah. Because I bought the DVDs and literally watched the odd episode from it, so I didn't actually give it a full rewatch again when I finally got the DVDs when it came out. Mm.
How about you, Leon?
I bought the US DVDs maybe like 5 years ago, about 5 years ago. So I rewatched it then.
Was that like in a collection or was it the ones in the Blue Note parody?
No, it's the collection. It was the one that I think they called it Remastered or something like that. And so it was in 5.1 surround sound in English and Japanese and extras and stuff like that. It was like, it has a black case. Because you couldn't get it over here, so I had to import it. Really good.
Did it cost a fortune?
No, not at the time. That's when the pound destroyed the dollar, so it's basically free.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was importing so much stuff at that time. Now it's flipped the other way.
Yeah. Bought stuff like Evangelion at the same time, because it was so cheap.
Yeah, I bought I think I first saw it at a Minamicon. I don't know whether that would have been 99 or 2000, one of those. And then I bought, I can't remember how the VHS release was done, whether it was like 2 episodes a tape or 3 episodes a tape. I can't remember how stingy they were being. But I think I got about half the series on VHS and then I saw them on DVD when they first got released on DVD in the US, which are those ones with the covers made to look like Blue Note covers. I bought all of them at another Minamicon. This was before I had and then I was like, well, at least all of them which were available at that point, which may have been all of them. And then decided I really ought to buy a DVD player in which to watch these. So the following weekend I had to go and buy a DVD player, multi-region, which cost me £200 to get the multi-region DVD player.
And to be fair, a lot of DVD players are such a nightmare to get multi-region working and stuff like that.
They were early days. This was like a modded one from, thankfully.
Taiwan.
One of the main modding places was actually only a few miles away from where I lived, so. Wasn't too bad.
I don't know if it's still the case, but sometimes when you get those super cheap ones from like Tesco or something, they just haven't bothered to region lock them.
Toshiba ones is the one I've got now, yeah. But Toshiba ones, you just need to put a code in. Those are like, I've had two from Tesco's, yeah, and they're like less than 30 quid.
Yeah.
And HDMI upscaling, and you have to pull the drawer out for some reason, and then put a code in with the handset, and then yeah, you're good to go. Set it to region zero, and everything plays.
Mm.
Was that the first way you saw it, or did you watch it on TV first? Did you get a TV viewing, any of you guys?
TV, definitely.
TV.
Proud to say.
Recorded yeah. off the TV.
Ooh.
So who was showing that? Because I did not see it on TV.
CNX, yeah.
Yeah, oh, legendary channel.
Best channel ever.
Oh, without a doubt.
But the thing is, I'd heard about it for years before then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd heard about it years before then, and at the time, really wanted to see it, but it was not available as easy as it is now. So, I was just like, it was just one of those things where I just knew Cowboy Bebop was meant to be good, but didn't get around to seeing it. And then it was on CNX and I watched it religiously.
Mm. Yeah. It's pretty good. To think that, like, that
had
a loose statement, but like, I remember just seeing the CNX adverts and seeing this thing called Cowboy Bebop. And I didn't know where it was at that point. So I was like, what the hell? And then I stayed up the first night of airing to watch Outlaw Star, Cowboy Bebop, and then I had to go to bed and I missed Spawn. That was on at 9:30, I believe. And I watched that the next day, recorded. I was slightly disappointed by Spawn.
Oh, I've got I downloaded a bunch of documentaries recently, and one of those was like hyping Spawn and anime.
Oh god.
Hopefully they've not been lost in, they may have been lost in the DVD crash. Oh. Oh no, they haven't. I've got the old Jonathan Ross one from the '90s, and then
he's hyping Spawn.
No, this was a different one. Let me see if we can find them.
Provided he's not hyping Spawn, because that's sure.
Very disappointing. I was thinking, oh, maybe there's some stuff out in there I can put into a Mass Extravaganza at some point, but no, there's not. No, I can't find it. Never mind. But yeah, there was one hyping Spawn, and I don't know who it was for, probably HBO, was that who showed
Spawn
originally? It was originally?
HBO, yeah.
HBO.
I mean, I know this isn't a Spawn episode, but I wanted to love Spawn, but it was so dull. So dull. And very dark. Not even like in a cool dark, it was like hard to see what's going on kind of dark.
I'm losing my voice, somebody else talk.
What about? I'm just joking. So, I want to know, like, kind of, how big that, like, you were going to cons at the time, obviously, Brian. So, were people, like, going crazy for it then? Because I was just a weeb to be back then, so.
Brian, I think that's a backhanded insult.
I don't know if people went crazy for anything. I know people... I'm trying to think, really. No, I don't remember there being much hype for it before it aired.
Yeah.
At least. But then again, I wasn't really hanging around with other people who watched anime, except John. And he was only watching stuff I showed him, so. Mm. or stuff we got from the various fan subgroups.
Yeah.
So, I don't know whether... I mean, people seem to like it. It wasn't like when the first episode of Jungle Goo was showed at Minamicon and people walked out.
Crying.
Because they were traumatised by it or couldn't get their heads around it. But yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I've got to buy this. It was one of those ones. So in fact, probably as soon as the opening theme played, I was like, yeah, this is what I want. This is it.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it. This is all I want from cartoons.
It's true though. It's actually true. Yeah. That after doing Alice in Armageddon at Iacon, I was kind of like, oh, I can't wait to rewatch some of this. It's you know, it got me right in the mood, and there was part of us deep down, like a dark evil piece of me, that was saying it's not going to live up to the hype.
I was so afraid of that myself.
Yeah, but that deep, that just curled up into a ball and disappeared off into the darkness, and the beauty that was Cowboy Bebop was left.
Oh, here we go. The title of that documentary, by the way, was Animation, Anime and Spawn. Cartoons Just Grew Up.
God, whoever wrote that was, must be embarrassed. They must be blushing right now.
Nah, it was the 90s. That's how you talked.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, Spawn. I don't know why I've always associated, obviously because they were aired at the same time, but Outlaw Star, Bebop and Spawn, they were all within that bracket of me kind of going through secondary school, growing up. That's what I kind of associate with growing up, which is a good bunch.
But yeah, I was buying Japanese magazines at the time. And I think, I don't remember getting much coverage in New Type. I mean, you got some, but what, not like hyped to the extent that the sort of
it should have been
New Type. But there was, I think it was Sony were putting out one of their own at the time. I think it was called AX or Anime X or something. And that had loads of Bebop hype. I think it had it on the cover, and then I think all the issues I got of it, they had production art inside. So I think they were the big Bebop boosters.
But I mean, like, that was an American magazine, wasn't it?
No, it was a Japanese magazine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I find it surprisingly poorly in Japan.
Yeah, well, yes. I don't think this hype helped. I don't think also the fact that the weird sort of getting cold feet and not airing some of the more contentious episodes in its first run.
So bizarre. That is, because I didn't realise that that actually happened, so when I read that, I was like, no.
I didn't realize till you put it on the list, and I was like, wait, what? They didn't. Those ones didn't show up originally. That's mad.
Yeah, like, if you look, he was over in America recently, wasn't he? And he was talking about how apparently the show was originally meant to sell models of spaceships.
Yeah.
What?
Dude, that's how everything goes, man.
They always meant to sell robots. And like instead of just making like a mediocre show. It's like they went, you know what, we're going to go balls to the wall with this one. We've got these little models that we want to sell. Let's do it properly.
I think you still see bits of that, even in some of the, in watching these episodes again, there's bits where it's like, oh, that is something they're going to put in the video game.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the game. Was that on Dreamcast?
It was on PlayStation. Oh, well, there may be one on the Dreamcast. There's definitely one on the PlayStation of some.
Was it purely dogfights or?
I don't know. I never decided to brave buying it. It didn't look very good.
Nah.
I remember they used to have it at CEX in Birmingham.
It still does have it there.
Probably, yeah. Still want 45 quid for it.
I'd like to see someone play it that's not me, because I don't really want to play it myself. God, it looks awful.
But yeah, talking about Outlaw Star, that was the thing I didn't watch, because it looked to me, seeing it in those Japanese magazines at the time, it looked like, well, one, it looked like sort of very 90s, but a 90s that it seemed like anime was moving away from, and yeah, it did also seem like, oh, that looks like a worse version of Cowboy Bebop. I've got Cowboy Bebop, I don't need to watch that.
Well, isn't it's everything like good, a worse, you know, version of Cowboy Bebop?
That's very true. Very true.
Alright, anything else you want before we get into
something I was going to mention, actually. I'm always very surprised when, I mean, I'm not one of these people who say, you must see this, you must have seen this to like anime kind of thing, but I'm always surprised at the amount of people that just, they haven't seen this show. I feel like...
Well, it's not on TV now, is it?
But how could you avoid it? I mean, even if you were going around looking for torrents of good series to watch, I'm going to use torrent as an example, people will see the shit out of Cowboy Bebop. It's not like it's hard to find. It's so easy to get DVDs.
Well, for a while it wasn't.
Blu-rays, clearly. Well, I suppose if... Mm. But surely people coming into the scene now, like Ebby, for example. I don't know how... I'm going to use her as the scapegoat here, but... how has she not seen it?
Because she's younger than everybody else who was on that
panel. It doesn't work like that.
It does. If there's not there's not an easy way to watch something, people don't watch it.
Hmm.
It's not on Netflix. It wasn't available to buy for a good chunk of time. It wasn't airing on TV.
Yeah,
but people aren't going to see it if it's not there to be easily seen. And the other thing is, people don't use HMV so much, or any of the other places which are closed because they weren't using them so much. You don't casually bump into Cowboy Bebop the way you used to.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had to steal it because my DVDs were slow in the mail, but they were really old quality videos, clearly ripped from, like, a VHS and stuff. It's kind of gone on the way out, somehow. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, so, but, I mean, it's back on Blu-ray now, and it'll be getting reviews again, and people seek it out again, and who knows, it may turn up on Netflix eventually again.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm surprised that everyone who went, oh, I wish Firefly was longer, that the general response wasn't, go watch Cowboy Bebop.
To be honest, it kind of was, though.
I don't know, people, I saw more people comparing that to Outlaw Star than Bebop. Because I think it did borrow a couple of images from Outlaw Star. And I've not seen either, but I've seen images
You've
of
You've not seen Firefly?
I've seen the film, I've not seen the series.
It's quite good.
Oh, it's better than quite good.
Well, I mean, like, I've just watched Cowboy Bebop again, so nothing else is going to stand up to
Firefly is a close second. I was very impressed with Firefly. I thought this is going to be awful. Mm. But it's really, really good.
The stars aligned on that one, are you?
You know I struggle to watch any TV show whose episodes are longer than half an hour, so...
Is Firefly 40-minute episode? Oh.
Yeah, the 40, 45 thing, yeah.
Doesn't feel it.
No.
Anyway, this isn't the Firefly podcast.
Nor the Spawn podcast.
It never will be.
Oh, dear.
Okay, let's go through the episodes and give our general thoughts about them. So, like I say, the first one is Asteroid Blues. This is a pretty good first episode. So, of course, it wasn't the first episode which aired in Japan.
Of course.
But yeah, this one, I think the thing which caught me the first time seeing it is that fight outside the...
Where he's got the poncho on.
Yeah, the poncho.
Yeah.
I think that and also the recurring gags with the three old guys.
Did they just live on every planet?
Yeah.
But I like the fact they established them as a recurring gag actually in this episode. They show up in two scenes.
Two different places, that's mad.
Yeah, so I think, but I say that fight with the poncho, that was the bit I think where it was like, yay, even more than the opening. This is, I want more of this. Let's hope the second episode is going to be as good.
Yeah, you can kind of see them going off model a little bit in it, but to the extent to accentuate the action, and it's really very good martial arts stuff. They must have had someone in it to do it.
Yeah. I don't understand why this didn't air in Japan on the first run. What? Why? Whose bright idea was that?
Well, it's not about cute girls that are underage, and it's not specifically about robots.
It was 1998. That wasn't what was on late night.
Yeah, men wanted fighting. Men weren't perverts in the 90s.
They wanted exciting science fiction like AWOL.
On the science fiction thing, I keep looking at different aspects of the design around this, and I'm just like, wait, so that colony is shooting out these air currents, like you'd see, I don't know, on a deep freeze in a supermarket. And I was like, is that generating an atmosphere just around the town and all this kind of thing? But clearly some thought has been put behind it.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. And this episode, it really shows up a lot of that very well.
Spike is just such a great character, and when I watch some shows, I still watch, I'm like, so what was that guy's name again? I don't really care. You know, the characters just don't, like, just hang with you. But with this, Spike, effing Spiegel, Jet, Bastard Black, you know, just badasses. Just, I want to grow up into these guys. I want to be these people. I want to be a bounty hunter.
It's weird because it both glamorizes and completely not glamorizes bounty hunting.
Yeah, do you want to starve to get death in space? Become a bounty hunter. But then it also establishes hunger as being the main driving force of these episodes. Leon, how about you? Not heard from you on this set.
It's odd. It's weird going back to that episode. When you've not watched the show in a while, because that episode is Bare Bones Bebop, in the sense that it's only two of the main characters, and it's very sort of localized to what's going on that planet, but it's really, really good. It has like action beats. It establishes how music's going to be used in that show. Even the cold open it uses is amazing.
Hmm.
Yeah. I really love that part, and it's like a hint of what's to come. But it's an episode that I actually enjoy more the more I watch it, because I always have the first thing of like, oh yeah, no one's in this one. But then it's they sort of open up elements of how the show's going to be, and what with all this existentialism and people pondering on stuff. It's definitely a good introduction to the series.
Yeah. And then the second episode introduces our third main character, Ayn, the corgi, in Stray Dog Strut, which I would say, I think this might be my favourite of this batch of episodes.
It's between this and another one for me, yeah.
That's a bold word, seriously. I think it's one of my... If it wasn't for Ayn, like, being, like, the centrepiece, I think it's one of the weakest.
Really? I really like Abdul Hakim in it as well. I think he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, a bad bunch of cowboy... Like, a bad episode in a Cowboy Bebop set, like, section of episodes is not necessarily a bad episode. It's just, you know, it's still really good, but I don't know, I don't feel as... interested as the rest of them, but Ayn is great, obviously.
Is it because it's more comedy than most episodes?
No, because I like the Bebop comedy, I like their kind of interactions and, you know.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know what it is about, actually.
Yeah, so watching it again, because knowing how it all ends, I tend to find myself favouring more the comedic episodes this time, because the dramatic ones don't hold their drama so much knowing how it all turns out.
See, I'm in the other camp because I was so young at the time, I might have found some of the drama and the story driven episodes maybe even boring back then. And there's a big possibility. I don't even remember. But so now watching them and just sitting down, focusing on them, it's like, wow. Yeah.
It could also be that I'm full of Space Dandy hype.
Oh, Space Dandy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want that to be Cowboy Bebop 2. It could be.
Well, he said it's going to be, which episode is it? The one from the next pack?
Mushroom Hunting.
Is it Mushroom Samba?
Mushroom Alexa? Samba, yeah.
Oh, sorry, that's the song, yeah.
Yeah, Mushroom Samba every week.
That's great.
Promises.
Nice.
I enjoyed my favourite joke in this episode is just how many animals are in that pet shop.
Yeah, isn't it like an ostrich?
Yes.
I think a horse runs out as well.
Yes.
It goes back very far.
Is this the first episode? Do you see Big Shot in the first episode? Oh, you do? All right, okay. So you should have opened this episode with the, how you all doing? That dude.
Oh, that's true, actually. I do love that show, even though they keep repeating the same animation. There's something kind of wonderful about it.
The girl's outfit.
Double-sided tape ever, that outfit. I've not seen anyone attempt to cosplay that.
Nah, I think that's a job for you, Leon.
But, Abdul Hakim is, like, really just menacing bad guy in that.
I don't know, he seems to be taller and taller as it goes on.
Yeah.
It's the wonders of plastic surgery.
Yeah, I mean, like, did he get plastic surgery height? Because that's amazing.
And then, third episode is Honky Tonk Women, where we meet fourth main character, Faye Valentine.
Ugh. Girl of my dreams. I'm putting
really?
It out there. Yeah!
Because she's kind of a dick.
Exactly. I need a girl who can whip me into shape.
You need a girl who'll rob you blind? Is that what you're looking for?
Well, that's what women do. Oh. I'm joking. But I like Faye. I think she's a good... At the time of watching this, obviously because you don't know these people are going to become characters recurring, I thought like, I hope she's not a recurring character. She's a bit of a dick, but she grows on you massively.
Yeah.
She really does. She really does.
I've completely forgotten the order in that the kind of crew appear on it. For some reason, I thought it was Ed, then Faye, then the Ayn, the Corgi.
Oh, God. Just watch like, in reverse.
Reversed, yeah. I don't know how I thought that.
Vicious joins the crew at one point. but I think it's every introduction episode to each of the crew is yeah, great.
They're really good.
It couldn't be any better done. I'd love to go to that casino. I wouldn't want to lose my money to Faye, but it's a good. I always laugh at the guy who's meant to be delivering the chip to Faye. How like he looks like this weird, withered Spike kind of looking character, and I just laugh like when you see his image. Yeah, he looks awful, and I always chuckle when I see him.
It was like a small weedy guy trying to cosplay a Spike. Not doing a great job.
I've never seen a single good Spike cosplayer.
Well, it'd have to be someone who's very smooth.
The thing is, the thing I've noticed about Cowboy Bebop, to go off on a small tangent, is that I've never seen anyone cosplay any of the characters effectively.
Nah. I think Jet would probably be the easiest to do.
Except for the robot arm.
Well, no, legit, I'm not talking like in terms of the materials used, but I think somebody wearing one of the Spike suits, they just look ridiculous. Only Spike can pull off that suit.
I still think it looks kind of silly on him. It's like a size too big.
He's lost weight because he's so hungry. Not getting those bounties.
It must be it, yeah.
Just have to bring a Welsh Corgi with you, and then that'll distract from any shortcomings in your cosplay.
Oh, that Corgi's terrible. That's the worst Ayn I've ever seen.
Now, you can... A question for you, see if you can agree with me. The bit where she's shooting the gun out of the shop on Mars with a cigar in her mouth. Mm-hmm. Is that supposed to be a Miller's Crossing reference?
I've not seen Miller's Crossing, so unfortunately.
Okay. I always thought it was, but...
I think it's meant to be, thinking about it now, actually.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. It makes a lot of references to a lot of different things. Not as overt as many things do. So, yeah, it could be.
Yeah, because Albert Finney's character has a similar scene in Miller's Crossing. Okay, yes, put that out there, because that always bugged me. For the very first time I saw the episode, I thought, is that a Miller's Crossing reference? Or is it just a coincidence? so this car, she doesn't really join the crew, though, at this point, does she? She's just introduced.
Yeah, she's just digging with them.
Yeah. And then she sort of forces herself on them, so to speak, in the next episode, Gateway Shuffle. Though, I don't know how that word works out when that wasn't shown in the original run.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she's there? It's like, okay. Yeah. Why didn't they show that one?
I don't know. I mean,
it's the weakest one of the bunch. That's why.
I kind of like the eco-terrorist that...
Yeah, I like this one a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not so keen on Honky Tonk Women in terms of animation. I think that's probably the weakest one, I thought, watching it again. But yeah, I really like Gateway Shuffle. I like that. The leader of the... In fact, I like the environmental group entirely when they just put those stupid masks on.
Oh, the masks look great.
Kill that guy who kind of looks like an overweight space dandy, in fact.
I've got it in my notes.
Yeah, he does.
The guy,
he's got
guy
the hair.
And
he's got the star design as well on his outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be
amazing.
I didn't
put a fat version, but I did put that down.
Well, now we know how it ends.
Imagine. Oh, God.
No, I like it. Like the bit where Spike's trying to get the virus out of its safety container.
Oh, that's amazing. And you're one trying not to react.
Yeah.
Oh man!
And the chasing in and out of hyperspace, which was a bit, which I thought, oh, I bet that's in the video game.
I really like that idea. I mean, like that was about the most tech explanation the show has gotten.
Yeah, because we get another hyperspace thing in a couple of episodes after this, which really, and obviously it's a big thing in the background of it, but I don't think they really ever go too far into boring us with properly explaining anything.
Well, it's like they built the hyperspace gates, and the people use them. That's all we need to know, really.
Yeah, we get the first... Have we had the hint I can't remember in the third episode whether it was really made clear just how old Faye is. And
because he's saying like, oh, the legendary gambler.
Yeah, Poker Alice.
The name, yeah, Poker Alice. Yes, yeah. He's been going around for so many years.
That's the, and then we get the hint in this one that she doesn't know quite how the world she's in works. She's when those missiles don't come out of hyperspace, but you still see them in real space.
She panics, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but didn't you go to school, Faye? Duh.
That's great.
Oh, dear. Oh. Hang on. We went dead there.
Have we lost someone?
All still here. Someone went quiet for a moment.
Yeah. Now, I do really like that episode. It is, it's a good bit of fun, but it's also, you start to get the rapport of the characters. So it does, I can't remember if they've done it before this, but it does sort of start the whole, thing that Cowboy Bebop does loads, which is like insane coincidences.
Yeah.
Like
insane, considering they're in space.
Apparently space isn't that big.
No, like insane coincidences there, where like Faye knows to go to a place which ends up being part of the storyline. Or Faye ends up in a place which is part of the storyline.
Well, I guess it's because they're all chasing after the same guys often enough. The coincidence is going to happen like that.
No, I mean, everyone watches Big Shot, so everyone...
She was out of gas in the middle of nowhere.
Well, she was on a space lane, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess, yeah. Space highway.
I don't know what you'd call it, but yeah.
You're talking about Faye here?
Yeah.
But the thing is, she could hitchhike off anyone. Any dude would pick her up. It's a fact.
Unless you'd be very suspect, yeah.
Now, I can't remember if it's this episode or one, another one quite early on watching it again, but you get the idea, well, at least I did, that Faye's got Spike's number in terms of realizing he's got this death wish.
Yeah, she seems to be the only one who's picked up on it, because I think Jet kind of sees Spike as kind of like himself, and he's not really trying to say more about him, but yeah, Faye seems to be able to fairly quick on the ball there.
And then we get into the fifth episode, which is sort of the first part of the what passes for ongoing narrative,
I guess,
in the series, Ballad of Fallen Angels.
Yeah, this does a surprising amount of still not explaining to you what the hell happened.
I like that. I like how this episode handles all that, because it's all still very vague and people talking about the past and all this. And it's very, like, dour and grey and rainy, and it's like, it's pretty cool, because it starts to show, like, the relationship between Spike and Jet is explored a little bit in this, where they're basically a squabbling little couple.
Nearly, yeah.
Yeah, and I like the way they handle that, and even the way her, like, Faye is brought into that storyline. Even though that dress is ridiculous.
I mean, like, to be fair to Bebop, the bouncing is crazy in it, but at least the breasts are of human proportions.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I never actually saw this episode on the first run. I don't know how I missed it originally, but I remember going to school, like, the next couple of days, my friend was like, oh, what do you think of Vicious? And I was like, what? On Cowboy Bebop? And I was like, eh? He's like, oh, you've got to watch it. So I don't even know how I tracked it down. I think they used to repeat episodes on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But I think they used to edit it out slightly.
Right.
Because it's ever been aired at like 9 or half 8. It was aired at like, I don't know, 2:30 in the afternoon or something like that. I'm sure you used to edit shit. Yeah. Great episode, though. I think it's one of my favourites of this bunch, anyway, of the first 13, definitely.
I've forgotten the song at the end.
Is it Rain?
Yeah.
Because
when Spike walks up to the church and the song plays, it's goosebumps. It's amazing. He's in the church, and that's a great scene. When he gets thrown out the church window, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
With the sort of montage memory thing. Hmm. Yeah, I love that.
I feel like with that setup and with the next episode with Vicious in it, that it's kind of suggesting that at any stage this could be Spike's last stand.
Yeah, yes.
Even though it's like episode, what, 5?
Imagine they'd killed him off. I mean, unbelievable.
Oh, that'd be crazy, because he'd be missing so many of the awesome things that he did.
It'd be such a shocker.
Hmm. Has Vicious got a little bit of Captain Harlock going on?
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah.
He got that bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bird. The bird is like pterodactyl, mate. Just massive beak.
Pterodactyl. it's just a raven, isn't it?
It's massive.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be some weird Mars vulture or something. Yeah.
Ah,
but yeah, it does look like Captain Harlock's bird.
And don't forget, Vicious has a sword.
Yeah,
that instantly, like, the fact that everyone else has got guns, he's got a sword
because he's vicious.
Yeah,
yeah. People
I remember thinking
always,
they were brothers as well. Spike
the thing
and
is, people are always sort of like 33% more badass if you go into a gunfight with a sword and you can hold your own.
That's true.
Especially if one of them snuck grenades into the gunfight.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
That was pretty badass, because like, oh my god, he fell out the... Oh, very clever.
I think that scene is perfect.
Mm.
It doesn't look out... like. I think it's timeless.
Mm.
That scene is just... Oh, goosebumps every time, no joke.
Because the last joke is really cool as well. With like, well, things off note.
He what? Yeah.
He wakes up from the dream thing, but instead of being Julia or whatever, it's Faye. He's like, you're singing off key.
That is good. And she storms off.
I'm like, if you didn't know he had a death wish at that stage, it's like, yeah.
God, yeah.
But he looks like a mummy, because he's messed up.
Okay, and then the next episode is Sympathy for the Devil. Which involves them trying to kill a kid.
I didn't recall it too well, but then it had, like, you know, the harmonica in it, so it just gains points in its favor for me.
Yeah, this was one I remembered quite clearly. I think this was back when UK cons just like to show huge chunks of fansub series. So I think I definitely remember seeing this at a convention. This may have been the last one that I saw of the lot. So that might be where it stuck in my mind a bit. But yeah, you're going to get some more strange hyperspace science about
it's
this,
very complex.
This kid who, it all boils down to this kid is immortal and there's this gem which they can use to kill him.
Yeah.
Or at least make him age again.
And how do they manage to get this into 20 minutes? I do not know. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, it's true. Because, I mean, like, basically they're chasing the bounty, and the bounty dies, like, really early in the episode, and the rest of it's just like, oh, I guess we better kill this murderer.
Yeah.
I don't know why they care about it, because is the kid doing anything wrong?
He's gone around murdering people.
Yes, and... turn the adults into vegetables and making them pretend to be his dad.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up. It's basically, it's, cause obviously Faye isn't that it wouldn't be interested, but like Spike and Jet kind of see, like, we have to do what's right, rather than their job, which they're generally more concerned with, seemingly. Yeah. But yeah, those two guys are really all about, it's like, we gotta do the right thing in this scenario.
Here's the thing that Sue's brought up, because we were recently rewatching the show.
Right.
What? Now they see him in, like, they see, like, a newspaper clipping of him. Like, why didn't he change his name? And, like, why...
Change his hair?
Yeah, why didn't he change his appearance as well? It's like, especially because his job, he was doing the same thing to these people for ages. Like, how did no one spot him?
Like, hadn't he been, like, a virtuoso with the harmonica for years?
Wasn't he moving was he moving from planet to planet, or...
Yeah, he was moving between the different colonies and asteroids and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I guess maybe he changed his haircut every couple of decades, but there's only so many haircuts. He might have come back around.
Oh, yeah, he looped haircut.
Yeah. little kids are all given the same haircut.
You can give him free haircuts, so he's going to have the same one at some stage.
Exactly. Also because no one would think that, they just think it was coincidence. They wouldn't go, oh, that kid must be immortal.
Did 10 years ago.
Nah, this must be a different kid because his dad in a wheelchair looks different from the previous guy.
Exactly.
He plays harmonica just the same way.
It's actually pretty sad this episode when the guy who is a giraffe or zebra. I forget.
They were
which
trying
one
to catch giraffe, and zebra's the one who's in the wheelchair.
When he sheds a tear, is he? Like, is he emotionally attached to the child? Like,
no, he's remembering. I think he's emotionally attached to giraffe because the memory is of the kid killing giraffe.
Yeah. That's right.
That's why he's shedding the tear.
So I picked up this wrong, and I wasn't entirely sure if the kid was I've forgotten the animal name, giraffe or
he was called guy. The kid was called Wen.
Yeah.
Ren.
Okay, I wasn't entirely sure. I was like, wait, did that guy work with an evil kid? For ages, I was slightly mixed up at the start of it.
And we also got to meet Fatty River.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is a perfect name for that sort of character. It's like, oh, no, there's Fatty.
Oh, dear.
And then following that is Heavy Metal Queen, which is another one of my favourites, I think.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was pretty great. Maybe it's because your one is awesome, VT.
I never used to be up there, this one. I was never too fond of it, and then rewatching it, I was kind of like, you know what, this is pretty good.
Yeah, same.
It's a lot going on. It's pretty fun as well.
It's one of those episodes where, and a lot of episodes do this, where VT is basically the main character, and the Bebop crew are kind of coming along on in her deal, which is it. Well, I always find it interesting, but yeah.
And Woody Allen's in it as well.
Oh, yeah. I've got...
Wait, Woody Allen's in it?
Becker, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The boy with the dragon tattoo.
that was great, where he's just like the most conspicuous looking dude with a dragon tattoo, and yet somehow Faye missed him because he's a little guy in glasses.
The other dude's eel tattoo is horrible.
He's a thing for eels.
And he's blushing when he reveals it and everything is awful. And I remember trying to think, what was VT's name? I was trying to think all the way through the episode to see if I could remember. No, hope in hell.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it
Russian,
was now. It's, I don't even know what it was. It's too, God, someone Google it and try and pronounce it. I can't remember. I also want to try a prairie oyster that Spike's having for his hangover.
Really? That looks nasty.
Yeah, but I didn't think they were a real thing, but I googled it, and yeah, it's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Wait, is it the thing from Cowboy Bebop, or was it?
No, it's an actual thing. Like a real, it's apparently a hangover cure. I don't know if it works, but the internet seems to think it might do. So it probably does. Yeah, I'll definitely give that a try.
So next convention you're going to, you're going to bring some raw eggs and Worcestershire sauce with you.
Yeah, and some salt and pepper, and you also need hot sauce, apparently. I was reading some people replace the water you put it in. You're meant to put it in with a bit of water. Some people replace that with gin. So they have a prairie oyster.
Are these people alcoholics?
I'm just going off the internet, so probably yes. So what was VT's name?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
VT.
We're never going to win that money.
There's a big stack.
What's also nice about this episode is the heavy metal music, obviously, because it's mostly kind of blues and jazz stuff.
Yeah, it seems like almost like a early Black Sabbath pastiche.
A little bit, yeah.
In terms of music, not necessarily vocals, I don't think.
Yeah.
No one's going for Ozzy's vocals.
No.
Okay, and then we get to Waltz for Venus, which is an episode I'm not particularly keen on.
Oh, see, this really struck a chord with me. I think it's really sweet. It's sad.
I don't know, I thought it was alright. I like the sci-fi thing where I'm trying to figure out how the various parts of this planet are working, you know? You know, in my head I just start going like, oh well, those clouds that are flying around the place, they might actually seed the atmosphere with oxygen as well as thing, which is why they don't just destroy them all, considering they blind you.
Yeah, because this is the one where it's like, basically living on Venus is like bad for your health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Venus sucks.
Yeah, house.
Too close.
I feel very sorry for the guy. Like the guy that gets introduced and he wants to learn karate and whatever else with Spike, and spoilers, but he gets shot. And it's like, whoa, I did not expect that.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it the first time watching it, but then I knew he got shot this time, so that kind of took some of the shine off the episode.
Yeah, I could see that. I'd actually forgotten how it went down, so I enjoyed it enough, but I could see that would mess with
me. Yeah, he obviously made a big enough impression on me when I watched it originally, because this was an episode I knew from the title what happened in
right,
it.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, not overly keen on it in this bunch. It feels almost, I'm trying to think how to word it. It feels almost formulaic. More than some of the other ones in terms of hitting the story beats.
It's definitely the Bebop kind of formula. I mean, like, it's your man's story that Spike gets involved in.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of like, oh, we've saved your eyesight, but your brother's dead. That seems very formulaic. Yeah.
Well, I think that's really sad. Like, all of Spike's interactions with his sisters, it's great.
I'm not denying it's sad, but it does just feel like this is a story beat, which I've seen loads of times before.
It's another example of the show though doing a thing where it shows you a character and then through kind of looking at them you realize what's wrong with them. Like with her, you don't initially realize that she's blind. And it's similar to the first episode. I can't remember your one's name in it, but I think the way it was shot, it wasn't obvious that she seemed heavily pregnant until Spike kind of gets down. I love that kind of stuff where it's just like, yeah, you just pay attention and you can see this stuff.
All the cartoon references in there. Tom and Jerry, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah,
because Tom and Jerry's playing on the shuttle, isn't it?
I didn't pick up that little reference. I picked up the Huey, Dewey, and Louie thing.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny when I saw it.
And also, is Spike, like, semi-misquoting Bruce Lee when he's talking about the,
like, water?
Yeah,
I think so. Because Bruce Lee references earlier on, obviously, in the Iron episode.
Spike's basically doing Jeet Kune Do.
Yeah, that's right. What a guy. What a guy. My two favourite men, Spike and Bruce. Bruce Lee.
Alright. Who's Bruce in the episode?
Bruce Willis. Bruce Forsyth.
And then on the ninth episode, we get our final cast member, Radical Edward, in Jamming with Edward.
I was worried that this was going to be a lot more annoying. You'd just be like, oh, well, it's going to be like American-voiced kid, and it's just going to be Ed just being wacky and stuff. But I found it quite enjoyable.
I switched between the Japanese and the American.
Right.
I think I watched this deliberately in Japanese rather than American. I enjoy this one a lot. And also because I think Ed moves differently to all the other characters. She's more sort of rubber-limbed, cartoony.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy because it stands out more against the realism of everybody else.
Like, I think everyone else is like Roran or Zolo and friggin' she's Luffy. So.
And basically she, blackmails herself onto the crew.
Yeah. Which is pretty great. Does that AI ever come up again? Because I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's just happily living amongst all the rest of the network on Earth.
Actually, that was great when the Big Shot guys were trying to define how an AI is not a person.
Yeah, after they captured them as well, that was
great. Because when they hand in the chip, they look so smug in the police station as well.
I thought they were more looking like, can we get a bounty on this chip? You know, they were chancing their arm kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't remember this episode being as good. I don't know, I got really into it and it's nice. Ed's great.
Yeah.
That is great. And I don't usually like these daft sci-fi. Like, I don't like Snarf and Thundercats. I don't like Meowth. And these kind of like the Meowth of Bebop. I don't know.
Surely that's Ayn.
Well, I suppose so. But I don't know. Ed's like this weird sidekick thing.
Yeah, like anime.
Usually I don't. Yeah, I don't usually like that.
That said, like, there's something they do with Ed that stops Ed being annoying.
I don't know what it is. I was trying to figure it out myself.
Neither do I.
It's like, if she went slightly one way, she'd be like the manic pixie dream girl. And if she went slightly another way, she would be the annoying snarf-like character, yeah.
Well, I feel she pops up at the right times, whereas those annoying characters interfere with the story for me. Whereas Ed progresses the story and, you know.
Well, she is also really useful.
Yeah.
She's not incompetent. She is the super hacker.
I don't know what operating system she's using, but it's very confusing.
I was wondering whether there's any bits of remastering on some of the images. I don't know if it's this one or something, but some of the images have got like XML coding over the top, which looks like recent XML coding to me, because I look at it every single bloody day of my life. So I'm wondering whether that was there originally, or whether they added a few things. I just remembered my favourite Ayn moment out of this 13 episodes though, which was back in episode 4 when we see the start of Faye somehow seducing Ayn into getting her out of the handcuffs and then Ayn into the handcuffs.
I don't remember that.
It's kind of a cutaway, but yeah, that's basically what happened.
You know, you see her look at Ayn and then Ayn whimper, and then next time we see Ayn, he's handcuffed to the pipes instead of her.
It's so unnecessary. It wasn't going to do anything.
But yeah, just you have to leave the rest to the imagination, because it does not.
I don't want to imagine any. I have to go into that furry panel with Greg.
Jesus.
What do you guys think of Yuri Kellerman?
Who?
The conspiracy theorist guy.
Oh, yes, the guy.
His voice was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes, we are doing it.
Oh, yeah. Not about him.
Yeah, not so much of a Peter Lorre impression on the Japanese version.
Yeah, I imagine that. again, here's me being geeky sci-fi guy, but the goggles, right, they show an extra interface on top of the screen?
I think so.
Okay, because initially I thought they were their own screen, but clearly it's like, okay, in combination with a screen, there's something
like
else.
Augmented reality or something like that.
Yeah.
Augmented computer screen. actually, here's a quick thing, and this is me just backtracking and stuff, but, right, you know the way there's so much live music in the context of the show? Do you think they just killed MP3s? And that's why, like, live musicians are really popular again.
Quite possibly. Well, they may have forgotten what MP3s are. This is the episode where we do get the idea that a lot of Earth's history is kind of forgotten.
Yeah.
And people who still live on Earth are considered insane.
Yeah, because Earth sucks.
Yeah, why is Earth such, like, a taboo?
It's a hyperspace accident, they said.
Yeah, I remember.
It blew up the moon.
Yeah, it blew up the moon.
How? And when is that mentioned?
In this episode.
In this episode.
It's not really obviously mentioned. You could miss it. You see the bit with Ed, and she's just hacking away, and she's listening to the weather forecast. It's like 90% chance of asteroid showers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, that means that a lot of places are going to be obliterated on Earth. It's mostly wasteland.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think when they show Earth, it now has a ring around it from where the moon blew up. Yeah.
Oh.
It's on the asteroid belt, or whatever you call it.
Attention to detail. And this was to sell little models. Crazy.
It is a good show of the ships, actually. Mm. So.
Yes, in this one you do, yeah. You get lots.
Actually, which is your favourite ship?
Oh, I quite like jets.
Boring.
What? It looks like a hot dog.
Crap. Swordfish is where it's at.
I like the jets because it looks like it's been repurposed from something which wasn't meant to be used for tracking down criminals.
A building site.
Yeah.
Well, it's got like a friggin' arm on the back of it, like it was a forklift or something.
Yeah.
I quite like that one, but I kind of like the way Phase 1 has like arms on it. And her pod is a lot more exposed than most of them.
Oh, we like exposed parts.
Oh god, yeah, I just realized. Jesus. Oh dear.
Oh gosh.
I thought I'd leave that one.
I did not see that.
I could not leave that one. Oh,
fair enough. I do like the way that's like a standardized part, but it just looks so different in the different ships.
Yeah.
Swordfish is where it's at, Spikes. Like, what's the name of Faye's ship?
Oh, jeez, I've forgotten.
I don't know.
Mm.
Definitely Hammerhead for Jets, Swordfish for Spike.
But that's kind of like saying, who's your favorite character? You have to stipulate, who's your favorite character besides Spike?
Oh, all right, okay.
Yeah, Spike is the best ship, but I was just saying.
Red Tail is Faye's.
Red Tail, okay.
That's a weird name. Seems very...
It's no weirder than Bebop.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, okay.
And then we have some of Jet's past in the 10th episode with Ganymede Elegy.
Yeah,
I like this episode a lot.
Mm.
It's a nice standalone piece, and Jet doesn't get a lot of coverage. Not that he needs to.
Yeah.
But I like that they don't go into too much with it, but enough to kind of say... This guy's a nice guy.
Yeah, we get this one, and then we get one which will be in the next set, which is about his arm, don't we?
Nah, that's right. Film Noir Jet. That one. I don't know what the episode's called. It's not that.
I'm like, basically because it's nearly the same character, but it reminded me of the bit in Big O where it's focusing on the police captain. I was just like, yeah, I want to see more of these characters. I really like them.
But yeah, I like this episode. I think it's...
It's more a character episode. There's not many big set pieces.
Yeah. I just like the story, though, with, like, him, this old love of his, and, you know, how she's moved on. And it's sweet.
It's nice. I felt like, oddly enough, for a character episode, there wasn't really, like, an arc, like a character growth moment. It was just more so, this is something he's dealing with in his life.
Yeah.
But then again, he does throw away the watch at the end, which is him kind of saying... Piss off, bitch. Maybe not as...
No, it's not that. He's basically... He'd moved on, but he'd expected everybody else to stay exactly the same while he was gone. And then that's sort of him realising that now everyone else has moved on as well. And that's why they'd split up in the first place, was that he wasn't letting her live her life. Yeah, and Faye spends the entire episode sunbathing.
She's got an epic tan at the end. Bronze goddess.
Actually, there's the thing. Do all the planets like have a huge amount of water on them? Because they always seem to land the Bebop in like a lake or something.
Possibly that could be part of their terraforming or something.
Yeah,
that's just like what's important. Dump a load of water on it.
More water.
Okay, then we get the last comedy episode of this set. Toys comedy. In the Attic.
Boy, is it a funny one. Boy, is it good.
Yeah, it's just the crew getting taken out one by one by a mysterious thing.
Oh, man. It's just so bizarre. Mm. And it is kind of scary at the same time when you don't know what's happening. Like, if they're suddenly going to introduce aliens? I don't know. But because I was kind of anxious, but... Oh, it's great. It's great. I don't really want to spoil what it is. Because I feel like everybody should have seen it, but it's you could watch this on its own without seeing anything else and still love it.
Well, I think it'd be better if you knew the characters a little more, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, obviously it's a big parody of Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And it has some like nods to 2001 as well.
Mm.
The bit that always tickles me is when Jet drinks the drink and he falls over and like Spike's like, quit clowning around. But he's just like, passed out. Just totally...
That's one of Jet's famous jokes. He's just all the time on the ship.
Where he face plants on the deck of the ship and smashes the glass. Yeah. He must have been so bored to gamble with Faye. That was just such a bad idea.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he didn't just take him off. He froze him in the air.
Yeah. You just want an excuse to get his kit off in front of Faye. Let's be serious.
Well, it might be robotic. You don't know.
Oh, man.
Actually, quick thing on Jet. What's the deal with that little plate on his face?
It's like Lady Gaga's plate.
I was wondering what it could possibly be holding together. Just his cheekbone, I guess.
Hmm. Or maybe like Nelly's little...
plaster.
It could be. Yeah, okay.
He peels it off every evening before he trims his bonsai trees or whatever.
But yeah, it is a little odd when you consider the amount of plastic surgery which happens in the second episode. Like, somehow needed to bolt a bit of metal to his face to fix his.
Well, I assume that was just like a cheap job, because like it has the bone sticking out and everything.
Yeah, maybe he did it homemade, did it himself.
It could be, yeah. Actually, you'd think he'd be better at cutting bonsai trees considering how immaculate his beard is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, it's a very weird growth because it grows.
Yeah, it's on his cheekbone.
Yeah.
You know he's grown it like that and he's actually just trimming the shape. So you think it looks awesome.
He's actually one of these people who have like a full face of hair that he trims around his eyes to.
It's the makeup for his baldness, I guess. Might be bald, but have a sweet beard.
Oh, he's a cool cat. Cool cat.
Mm.
And then we get our two-part episodes, episode 12 and 13, Jupiter Jazz part 1 and part 2, where we return once again to the wonderful world of Vicious.
I wasn't looking forward to this one again. I felt I was going to be sat kind of bored for two episodes. Boy, was I wrong. I was wrong.
Mm.
I think this is great double parter. Is it? I don't think there's another double part until the very end either, is there?
I
think you're right.
I
think this is so, so good. I don't really want to give a synopsis because it's a little complicated. I don't think I can do it justice because there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
The weird thing is I feel the way Bebop does episodes, that... an episode stretched to two would seem like it would be really stretched out, but with this, it's packed enough. There's certainly enough to go on to keep you invested.
I mean, there's a cliffhanger at the end of part one, which I kind of I actually forgot about it.
Yeah, because you might have thought of it as a whole, the story.
Yeah, yeah, and I was like, oof, forgot about this.
Mm.
Actually, I knew it wasn't, you know, but wasn't the end of everything, but.
It feels like Tony Spike could be taken out.
Yes. It's scary. Oh, imagine Vicious was in every episode. A constant fear. You would just pop up.
That'd be too much tension. What a coincidence, Vicious is here.
Like Team Rocket.
I think at the time there were people who would complain that he wasn't in every episode.
Were there Mad Vicious fans?
No, but there's people who didn't like that so many episodes are just one-shot stories, and they want a continuing narrative for every single episode of their cartoon.
Boring.
I'm like, it's nice that Bebop actually does have the continuing narrative, because I think it would actually suffer a little if it didn't, but if that was its entire thing, yeah, that would be
I like the way how they do it for Bebop, you know, like how like the X-Files used to do it, and several other shows where... It's sort of like Case of the Week, but there's a storyline going on in the background which comes to the forefront every couple of episodes. I do like that structure for Cowboy Bebop, because if it was fully, like, big arcing story focused, I don't think you'd get as much character moments, and you wouldn't get as much of a feel for who they are. And you just wouldn't get to have as much fun with them, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah, and the characters are only bothered about it at the times when fate drags them back into that world. I think it works better than what they try to do, similar thing they try to do with Shampoo, is because the overarching story was their motivation to wander around the country each week.
Yeah.
You kind of expected it to come up more than it actually did.
Mm.
Yeah, because I mean, like, the way this is set up, it's each week they are going after a new bounty.
Yes.
They fought the last bounty or failed, as they often do.
But occasionally that ties in with something Vicious is doing.
Yeah, it ties into, because he's running the big syndicate type mysterious shadowy thing that you don't know what it is yet, and it's kind of Spike's past catching up to him. Yeah. I kind of went.
But it's not like they're sitting at home in the other episodes going, where's Vicious? What are we going to do about Vicious? We're going to track down Vicious, find out what he's doing.
Well, Spike's trying to move on with his life, but he keeps getting pulled back to it, you know?
Yeah. See, I think he wants to be back in that life.
Yeah, I think there is some Julia. Of that. I think, well, yeah, I think he wants to... Yeah, and also back in Julia perhaps just wants to have a shootout at some point, and one of them will die.
I think, yeah, he definitely wants like a piece of Vicious, but he could actually continue on without.
Yeah.
Because he's not actively searching for him, it's just when he appears, he's like, okay, I'm going to fucking get him this time.
Like, it's like his code word, like, hey, Vicious, what are you doing here? And like, why do you call me? And he just goes psycho.
Oh, that's great.
Crap apple.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah.
Such a cool animated scene as well, as he's just jumping around battering these guys. And then I thought we were going to get part two of that when Faye was going to beat them up. I thought, oh,
yes.
Faye action scene. And
she was, like, ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
She's only got, like, one kind of shootout scene, not including her introduction before. Hasn't she?
I don't know.
Especially, like, before that, I didn't realize that Faye could fight, and we almost get to see it.
Then Tit Job Bob turns up, ruins it. But he comes in with his big case of sacks a phone. I would have liked her, because she does pretty well from what you see.
Mm.
How she could take on all those dudes, no way.
No, she probably could have.
No, she probably, I would like to think she could have done, yeah.
See, I mean, like, she's not as good a fighter as Spike, but she does fight dirty. So.
Yeah. She'd probably pull out some laser lipstick and...
Yeah, I think it's just, the fact that there's the interactions with how everything ties together. Like, what's the whole crap with the war on Titan? The attack on Titan.
I was thinking about that and I thought, do not make that joke.
Oh, damn it,
and then you made the joke.
Oh, sorry. But I like that it doesn't go into too much detail, but I'm also kind of like, oh, I'm intrigued. I would totally, like, anything Bebop could throw at me, like, about its history and its lore and all this kind of jazz would be great. But I like that it doesn't go into too much detail.
Yeah, it's one of those universes that has been, it at least has been thought about enough that it seems like you could set any kind of genre piece in it, really.
Well, I always kind of compare that kind of idea to Blade Runner when they're on the film Blade Runner, when they reference all the offshore, like all the colonies and stuff, all the wars and stuff like that. They don't need to show anything. But it's just mentioned, and that, to me, shows that, like, you know what? What we've got here is good enough. You can just dream about all the rest of it.
Mm. They do similar in Firefly as well.
I like when, like, things do that. It shows there's a lot more going on than just these bounty hunters flying around doing stuff.
Yeah, they're bounty hunters within a pre-existing world. That feels realistic. Like, just the simple thing of calling the unit of currency Wulongs. It's like clearly China had something to do with that, I'd say.
Yeah, it was a PlayStation game and a PlayStation 2 game.
God. Surely people didn't buy it. Because, no matter how much I like something.
The Shell game back on PlayStation 1.
Oh, really? Is that any good?
Oh, it was a bit janky.
Because I'm one of these people who think the more I love something, the more I don't want a game. It's like, imagine there was a Sopranos game.
I'm sure there is. There is.
I'd like a platform.
I'm sure there is.
Crash Bandicoot. Where you get a Tony Soprano mask and go crazy.
I'd like a Sopranos game if it just had the same ending as the TV series. Just to annoy people second time around.
Oh, man.
Click X to open door to restaurant. Sit down, and then it just fades.
Too soon.
Oh, yes, that's all you get on this package, those 13 episodes. And then the next one's out, I think, end of this month.
Yeah,
is it?
Worth watching the rest of them.
Yeah.
Higher quality when I get the DVD.
I can't remember what's to come. I remember the Cowboy Andy. I don't want to go into too much. I can't remember what else happens.
Yeah, I remember, Cowboy Andy...
Ed's father.
Yeah. I remember all, like, the last four episodes building to the end. Mushroom Samba, Cowboy Andy.
The sad one with Fear.
The episode which is basically an episode of Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah.
Batman's in it?
Oh, I think the Batman in the Future. I was just doing the intro.
But yeah, those are the ones I remember. But yeah, I highly recommend getting this on Blu-ray. It looks great.
Yeah.
Super duper.
I want it.
And I am, yeah, I'm so full of Space Dandy hype.
When's that? Is it next, like, March or something?
January.
January, even better. I remember I watched the preview on YouTube, I seen on Tumblr or something, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a hoot. Have you seen anything, Leon, for us?
No, I'm in
the... Oh, check it out.
Space Dandy is a dandy man in the space.
Isn't that actually what it says?
Yes, that's the...
that's what it says? Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, him and his little two sidekicks, one who's like a... Sort of like a
cat otter.
Yeah, sort of a cat otter man, and then a bargain basement RTD2. Who you see in the trailer, sunbathing, reading a magazine.
But like the guy, I might just wait for the dub because I want the Spike Spiegel voice on him.
Yes, I listened to some of the dub, but I can't. I mean, it wasn't once I got used to it. It wasn't as bad as I was initially feeling. But with the times when I wasn't watching the screen. It really does sound like people recording their lines at separate times rather than two people having a conversation.
See, I have no qualms with the dub. I watched it dubbed originally, so perhaps.
I think
no,
we've had this conversation on the Bebop movie episode.
Though I'm sure during the Bebop movie episode, you said that you...
I saw the film in Japanese originally, but the series, because that was all I could get access to.
As well.
No, I could only access the film in Japanese.
Considering you'd watched it on CNX for you to be like, yeah, I prefer the,
Oh, no. I've never actually watched the series in a dub at all. So, in the Japanese, so.
I've seen the odd episode and then I tried it out.
I think it was one of those things where, people were just introduced to the English more likely than they were introduced to the Japanese.
Anyway, in an attempt to bring this episode under 2 hours, let's move on to my game, which is called Name That Bounty Hunter.
Oh, Jesus.
Dog.
So I'll give you a description of a bounty hunter. You get a point if you can name it, or you also get an extra point if you can name where they come from. In some cases, that will be the same thing. And they're not all anime. They're all media, all fiction. They come from all fiction.
So Dog won't be in it.
No, Dog is not in it.
He's got to be a made-up character.
He's his own made-up character.
I was going to say, I think the TV show is made up, but he is a real person. Okay, right, let's start with Dwayne.
Right.
I'll tell you what medium it's from as well. Okay, so this is from a comic.
Right.
And this bounty hunter is a deformed Civil War veteran. He's also in a movie as well.
Shit, Jonah Hex.
You are correct.
Yeah. Wow, well done.
I'm trying to find the name and I couldn't remember the name.
Okay, yeah. Leon, this is from a video game. This bounty hunter was hired by the NCR of Camp McCarran to hunt the leaders of the Fiends in the ruins of Westside.
Video game?
Yes.
Oh, but this is on such an obvious one, I can't remember. I don't know.
Okay. Anthony, do you know? Hired by the NCR of Camp McCarran to hunt the leaders of the Fiends in the ruins of Westside.
Is it somebody from Saints Row?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dwayne, do you know?
No idea. When you say Westside, I was thinking they'd say by the Bellhaver game?
No.
There is was Bayside.
Bayside.
He's the courier from Fallout New Vegas.
I'll play that.
Okay, Anthony.
Yes.
From comics, this robot preferred to refer to himself as a freelance peacekeeping agent, yes?
God, I have no idea.
I think Dwayne knows.
Death's Head.
You are correct.
What is it called? Who is it?
Death's Head. He was introduced in Transformers and then he sort of... Well, he was introduced before Transformers in order to make sure Marvel kept rights to the character.
Yeah. But I think the deal is he was introduced in Transformers as a giant robot bounty hunter.
Yes, and then gets shrunk to human size in his own...
He met Doctor Who.
Yes.
Got shrunk to human size, and then he's in the Marvel Universe, and there's like two different versions of him running around the current...
I think it's actually three.
Three? I thought one of them got killed.
Oh, possibly. But,
he's great.
He is, yeah. I loved him when I was a kid. Okay, so back to you, Dwayne.
No. Oh.
This bounty hunter sung of how he was the unknown stuntman.
Oh, jeez. What medium is this?
Oh, it's TV. TV series, yeah.
The unknown stuntman. I don't have a clue, man.
Leon, do you know if it's a TV series where a bounty hunter sung of how he was the unknown stuntman?
No idea.
Anthony.
Monk?
No, it's Colt Seavers, the Fall Guy.
Oh, the Fall Guy! Oh, God.
Okay, Leon. This extraterrestrial bounty hunter from a film took the form of rock star Johnny Steele when he arrived on Earth to hunt Kreitz.
No idea. The worst ones, I've probably heard of this or watched it, but no.
I bet you have.
Yeah. Anthony.
Is this the Hulk Hogan film?
Which Hulk Hogan film?
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Something like Space Nanny or something?
Like two films.
Yeah, you compress two films. It's neither of those two films.
Oh, damn.
You were thinking of Suburban Commando.
Yes, that is a great film, I'll have anyone know.
Okay, Dwayne. This alien bounty hunter took the form of rock star Johnny Steele when he arrived on Earth to hunt Kreitz.
Wait, so it's not a Hulk Hogan film?
No, it's not a Hulk Hogan film.
Okay, I was thinking it was either that or it was the one from Critters, but I can't think of the guy from Critters.
Okay, I'll give you a point for Critters.
Really?
Yes. I said I'll give you a point if you get the...
Oh, okay.
The name of the... show as well, yeah. Oog.
Of course.
I was way off.
Okay. Anthony.
Yeah.
This bounty hunter was hired from a film based on our TV series. Having said that, would be obvious when I read the rest of this clue out. This bounty hunter was hired by Plankton to hunt SpongeBob and Patrick when they attempted to retrieve King Neptune's crown.
Well, obviously SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, you don't get a point for that.
Oh, Oh, God. I can envision some... Oh, I don't know.
It was voiced by Alec Baldwin.
Nah.
That's not a clue which will help. Dwayne.
You know, I should know this, but I actually don't because I've forgotten the name.
No, I wouldn't have known the name at all. Leon. Do you know the name of the bounty hunter from the SpongeBob SquarePants movie?
No, I've got no idea.
His name is Dennis.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, Dwayne, back to you. This bounty hunter from a movie based on a book franchise, I think. Anyway, this vampire, well, he's a vampire bounty hunter who hunts vampires for money in the post-apocalypse.
Wait, did you just give it away?
He's a vampire bounty hunter.
Oh,
hunts vampires. Yeah, I gave it away because the clue's really obvious. He's a vampire bounty hunter who hunts vampires for money in the post-apocalypse.
Surely he's Vampire Hunter G.
You are correct.
I thought that was going to be a trick.
I thought it was a trick. I was like, this must be a trick. There must be a million vampire hunters or something.
You're currently 4-0 in the lead.
Yay!
Leon. This bounty hunter is from a comic and a anime. She's a Chicago gun shop owner who does bounty hunting as a sideline with a bomb crazy sidekick.
It's Guns with Cats.
That's a point. Can you name who she is?
I can't remember their names. It's been so long.
I think he got the point anyway.
He can get 2 points if he gets by.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
This isn't a fair quiz.
Is the bombing one May or something like that?
Yes, but I'm asking for the other one.
Yeah. Rally Vincent.
You are correct.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Okay. I could not think of her name either. That's good, man.
Anthony, this is a TV show. In the Old West, this bounty hunter tried to bring the Bly Gang to justice with the help of lawyer Socrates Poole.
Is it Deadwood?
No.
Oh, gosh. No idea.
Do you know which bounty hunter tried to bring the Bly Gang to justice on television?
No idea.
Leon, do you know? Leon, are you still there?
Yeah, I remember the show, but I can't remember the name of the show, but I can't remember his name either, but I've never seen it.
The name of the show and his name are pretty much the same thing, so I'm going to be having trouble.
But it's like, isn't it like Briscoe County or something like that?
That's good enough, yes. Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Campbell show, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
That's one of the few Bruce Campbell things I haven't seen, unfortunately.
Oh, it's worth checking out. It's pretty good.
Okay,
so that was Anthony, so we're back to Dwayne. This is the last question for you.
Right.
This bucket-headed bounty hunter fell in a big hole and died in the movies.
Well, yeah, in the expanded universe, he actually survived.
I did originally have the line, he died, and no arguing.
Nice. It's Boba Fett.
You are correct.
I've seen a great webcomic where he marries the Sarlacc. It was pretty great.
And you're not getting a point for knowing what film he's from. Okay, Leon. This bounty hunter is a mutant with the Search and Destroy Agency, whose eyes allow him to see through walls and read minds.
What is the media?
Oh, it's a comic.
No, I don't know. This is going to be one of the ones I'm going to be like, ah. Oh.
Anthony, do you know?
Can you read the description again, please?
It's a comic bounty hunter. He's a mutant, works with the Search and Destroy Agency, and his eyes allow him to see through walls and read minds.
Is it from X-Men?
Are you going to say he's from X-Men? Is that your guess?
Yes, that's my guess.
You are incorrect.
Oh, damn. No idea then.
Dwayne, do you know?
I assume it's Hitman.
No, it is Strontium Dog Johnny Alpha.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Well, they both have the same power. I never really thought about that.
Actually, no, neither have I. You're correct.
That was an inadvertent trick question.
Yeah. Well, the Search and Destroy Agency would give you the clue at Strontium Dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's where the nickname comes from the badges with SD written on it. 2000 AD fact. Okay. Last question, Anthony. You can come back from the complete shame you're in at the moment. With this question. This bounty hunter from a comic and a movie would prefer if you didn't call her Babe.
That rings a bell. Don't call me Babe. I mean, mine is blank. Sorry.
Yeah, do you have a guess, though?
A guess?
That's the standard.
All right, okay. I'm gravitating to, like, Tank Girl or something.
Incorrect. Wayne.
Barb Wire?
You are correct.
I didn't even remember that.
I tried watching that film. I don't think I got 10 minutes in. It's so bad.
The Pam Anderson one.
Yeah.
Yeah, based on the Dark Horse comic.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was based on a comic. Crazy.
Back when Dark Horse were able to get loads of movies made. But they were the only people getting movies made.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Dwayne, you won 6 points. Leon got 3 and Anthony got 0.
Oh, damn it.
I know way more about bounty hunters than I thought I did.
I know a lot less than I thought I did. I knew Jango Fett, Boba Fett, and Dog. And the bounty hunter from Firefly.
I should have put Jango Fett and Jango from Jango Unchained in there just to confuse things. Oh, and the other Jango as well.
Maybe next time.
All the answers are Django.
That's a good point. There's another bit Bebop episode coming up, and one of those has an episode referencing Django. So yes, it may be Django, Django, Django as the next quiz, next Bebop episode.
Which Django did that
Yes,
one?
Exactly. Like No-No or Jojo. Rightio, plugs. Leon, what you got to plug?
Just my Twitter, Leon Everett.
Okay, Dwayne, what you got to plug?
I put drawings on I Am Often Wrong on Tumblr and D Shot in the Face Pirate on DeviantArt.
Anthony, how about you?
Twitter is normal, AntAskew, and also Tumblr, umlaut ampersand. Just Google it.
You're better off.
It's clean now, so it's good.
I'll not do any plugs because I can barely talk. So, as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamite. There, like I said, barely talk. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the big shot that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Goodbye, y'all.
Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.